Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
You tough, a strong person?
It made me wiser, yes. I was angry. I think I still am angry. You know, when I look at some of those things, there comes a time when I just feel, you know what? I think we've given more than people have not apologized for this humiliation. You know, they have not come to us and say, you know what? We did not understand what this thing means. And there's a tendency for people to keep saying, apartheid is gone. Apartheid is not gone. You know, it stayed. The laws went, but it stayed because it was something that was introduced, that's something that was grinded, and you know, it stayed with us forever. So it is something that you always want to remind yourself that this is what I had to go through.
What do you think of the youth today? 18-year-old kids, 16-year-old kids. Obviously, they have to read books and you have to tell them the story, but you meet them as well. You love children, whatever. What do you think of the youth of South Africa at this stage? How do you explain that to them?
It's a very difficult call to make. You can talk about it. You can explain some of this. You know, I read a lot. There's things that I sometimes find myself having to tell young people about apartheid and the experiences. You know, there was a book called The Super Afrikaners, The Making of the Broederbond. A lot of people have never really read that book. They don't even know that book exists because it was a book that the Nationalist Party wanted banned, right? Because it exposed and it revealed quite a number of things that were, you know, were endemic at that time, you know, how the Broederbond actually informed how South Africa should grow and develop. A poor Eugene de Kock is a product of that anger that was manifest in all that stuff. Guys like Kutsi and all that, because they were young people who did not understand what they were getting themselves involved in. And there were all these General Van den Berg.
Yeah.
You know, those guys who created the Broederbond to say, look, this is the agenda. And this is the agenda that you must defend because this is about your future. But frankly and honestly, they destroyed the future of those young people.
Do you want to grab your saxophone quickly, Sipa?
Yeah, I think maybe.
That was tense. Do you want to play a little song there for us? What do you feel like doing? I mean, I want to know, do you tune a saxophone, Sipa?
Yes, you do. Because it has to be on key.
Mm-hmm.
Because playing it on the piano, if you're not in tune with the piano, then you'd be playing. So you have to really tune the saxophone.
I mean, we've had Mike Fora, brilliant sax player.
I haven't seen Mike for a very long time.
Those are the guys.
How's he doing?
Yeah, you know? There were a couple of amazing sax players in this country. I mean,
yeah. Oh, Mike was one of those great, 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 fantastic saxophonists. You know?
Scorpion, what's it? What's his name?
Madondo.
Yeah, Madondo,
yeah,
brilliant.
But Mike was incredible. Mm. Scorpion, Kaya, you know, Bunny, you know, there were some fantastic players out. Winston, Mankunku, Begim Seleku, the list is endless.
And the saxophone belongs to South African music. I mean, it goes with the rhythm and stuff.
West Ngosi, Lemmy Special, you know. And, you know, South Africa is probably the country that can play, South Africans can play any kind of music you choose to. I mean, you go to the States, you start playing mbaqanga. You know, saxophones in mbaqanga has got this wailing tone that a lot of people in America always find fascinating. And they always find difficult and say, how do you do that, you know?
Here we go. Do you blow or do you suck that thing, Sipa?
It's a sex.
Here we go.
Can you hear that wailing thing?
Wailing.
That's how the Americans or probably the British would do it.
Yeah.
But you're... That is the wailing South African sound. It's not. I remember, when I started playing this song with the Freshly Ground, Simon is a flute player. He always loved, how I... They would invite me to come and perform with them because he loved this wailing sound on saxophone. He eventually bought himself an alto. And I would say to him, okay, Simon, this is how I play. This is how you will. And you really, really, really got into it. And I would say to him, now you play the solo. And He would play it, but you'd still find the wailing thing a bit challenging for him because it's a township thing.
But you know. I must say, why do the minibus taxis sound like that as well? Just play that intro again. Beep, 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 beep. They do, all of them. That's where they got it from. They heard you play the saxophone. You have to give me a sound. Just do it again, Sipa. Come on.
No.
Come on. Yeah, listen, listen. Beautiful.
That was Western.
Absolutely beautiful. Okay, one of your favorite musicians, the late, great Bob Marley now, Sipa Hotstix Mabuse, still here for the next, can't we stay until 4 in the morning?
We could stay until 6 in the morning.
Do you go to bed early at night?
No.
So you're also I read late at night.
I read late at night and probably, mess up with my computers and things.
Hey, well, we're going to talk about you writing Matric in just a bit.
Yeah.
But here's Bob Marley. Listen to the words.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Where was it? In Zim, hey? You did that concert with him and backstage, or did you meet him before or afterwards?
It was before.
What kind of guy was he?
He was stoned.
Hey, Sipo, yeah, how are you, man? But that redemption song, he already had cancer then. Wow. And he knew he was on his way out, and he wrote that song. Beautiful song.
Yeah, beautiful song. Mm. Just like yesterday.
Yeah, just it's so simple, and it's so powerful. Some SMSs coming in. Are there any other hidden talents that you have, Mr. Sipo? Come on.
I don't know. I guess we always have to find it in ourselves to discover ourselves. Mm-hmm. My life is probably this journey that I keep making discoveries of who really I am and what I'm capable of doing. And probably I still have to know what it is that I can do that others are probably not able to do.
And you did that because you didn't have the opportunity to write Matric. How old were you? 60 plus? Okay,
yes.
Without giving your age. Plus VAT or minus
fine.
VAT?
I'm quite...
So what inspired you? It's probably been bugging you all your life.
Yes.
I want to do this and I am going to do it. And where did the inspiration come from to go and write Matric?
Well... I guess I owed it more to my mom, really. I'm sure she would have really, she would have loved me to be an academic because she had always wanted me to be one, you know. And unfortunately, I probably was forgiven because when I started making money as a musician, I was able to fend and look after her.
Yeah.
But I still believe that she would have wanted me to be that. And of course, I also was a curious person. I understood that, you know, the only way that I could achieve knowledge, things I could be knowledgeable, things that I could be curious, you know, for is if I go back to school and learn and read. So I owed it to myself that I want to write matric. I had not finished matric. I want to go to university. I want to feel that everybody, you know, what is it that the, you know, is so inspiring about education. But of course, it empowers, you know. You get empowered if you're knowledgeable.
Mm.
And that knowledge can only come through a classroom and reading more books. So I went back to school. What was fascinating about that experience is that I was in class with children young enough to be my grandchildren.
Did you wear a uniform? Just checking.
Well, thankfully not. But I would have.
Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon.